Today's text comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language a Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. The book of Acts was written by Luke, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. These two books are connected like a two-volume set. There is a significant event that connects the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, the Ascension of Jesus. The Gospel of Luke ends with the Ascension of Jesus, and the book of Acts starts with the same event. The disciples who witnessed not only the resurrection of Jesus, but also his ascension into heaven, heard a promise from the angels that Jesus would come back in the same way that he ascended. After this, they all had a reason to return to Jerusalem and settle down because Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem even after he left, but to wait for the promise from the Father. Acts chapter 1 verse 4, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.'" What was the Father's promise that Jesus talked about? It was the promise to send the Holy Spirit. Just as God sent his Son to save us, he also promised to send the Holy Spirit after the Son ascended into heaven. Holding on to this blessed promise, the disciples returned to Jerusalem. About 120 saints gather in the upper room in Jerusalem to pray, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out to them. We do not know exactly where this room was, but we can guess that it is the same room mentioned by Luke by adding an article to the word upper room. This could be the upper room where Jesus met and had the Last Supper with his disciples, as mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 22 verses 10 through 12. "He said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of his house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." In the upper room, the disciples share their last Passover supper with Jesus. they gather in this upper room to pray. And while praying together, they receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Unlike in the Old Testament, where it was in the temple, God the Holy Spirit came and dwelled among the gathered saints in this upper room. This place where the saints gather became the temple of God and the place of worship. It represents the new covenant community and the church that testifies to the kingdom of heaven. The place where we are now gathered is also like the upper room, and the Holy Spirit dwells among us. The early church members who gathered in the upper room were the ones who prayed and worshiped God. Acts chapter 1 verse 13. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Except for Judas Iscariot, all 11 disciples of Jesus were present. The women who followed Jesus, including Mary, his unbelieving brothers, were also there. John chapter 7 verse 5, for not even his brothers believed in him. Isn't it surprising that the brothers of Jesus were also members of the early church, even though they initially did not believe in Jesus? Today, these brothers of Jesus are part of the new covenant community, showing that Jesus' family belongs to the church through faith in Jesus. It's no longer just a physical family, but a heavenly one. It's a blessed reality that the earthly families also belong to the kingdom of heaven forever and live as one family in Jesus. Let's pray that God will grant these blessings to our church as well. Even if some of our family members do not believe and are living away from the church, let's pray that God will call them to the heavenly family according to His will. Let's also share the gospel with them. For the family members who are currently worshiping in the church, whether they are your spouse, children, or siblings, let's see them as part of our heavenly family, serving them with love and sharing fellowship in faith, building each other up in Jesus. About 120 saints gathered as a new heavenly family and share the fellowship of the saints. But what did these people who gathered together in the upper room as a church devote themselves to? Acts chapter 1 verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. The heavenly families all gathered together and prayed with one mind. They prayed with one heart and one accord, worshiped God, and had fellowship as one family. Isn't it so beautiful? It is the reality of heaven. That is what our church must witness now. It means that we also need to devote ourselves to pray, not with different minds, but with one mind. We also need to have one heart in the will of God and the promise of Jesus. What was Jesus' promise that they prayed for? Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The promise and mission given by Jesus will soon be fulfilled. The church, the community of the new covenant, will receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and will be witnesses of Jesus, testifying of the gospel to the ends of the earth. The saints gathered together, waited, and prayed for that. Finally, the prayer is fulfilled, and the Holy Spirit comes, overflowing the joy of the saints. Jesus' promise and God's will were fulfilled through their prayers. They did not stop praying. According to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, even after the Holy Spirit came down, the whole church continued to pray together with one heart and fulfill the mission given by Jesus. The early church was devoted to worship and prayer. They prayed and worshiped with unity and single-mindedness, seeking God's will and power to fulfill their mission. Instead of relying solely on their own strength or just waiting for God's promises to be fulfilled, they first prayed and sought the power of the Holy Spirit. As a result, God joyfully fulfilled His promises and missions through their prayers. The book of Acts clearly demonstrates the connection between the prayer and the fulfillment of God's will in the church's ministry and the lives of the believers. Why should we pray? First and foremost, it is because the work of the kingdom of God is the work of Jesus and can only be accomplished with the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, when we pray, we are acknowledging that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are the ones who have accomplished it. Consider this carefully. Can we, with our own strength, do the work of breaking the power of Satan and freeing those who are bound by Satan and leading them to Jesus? Can we do the work of turning sinners' hearts to repentance and transforming them into a new person? Can we make sinners be born again to the life that belongs to the kingdom of heaven and help the saints become more like Jesus in the image of Jesus? The same is true for our own lives as well. Without God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we cannot do anything. Therefore, we must completely depend on God, and that is why we should pray. Let us pray for our church. Above all, let us pray earnestly for those who are not part of the church. Let us also pray for those who have weak faith, for the sick, for the elderly, for those who are struggling, and for those who fear death. Let us pray for each other to grow spiritually, to be strengthened in faith, and to persevere until we reach the glory of the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray that God will give us grace so we can serve actively, care for others, and build them up. Please pray for the church's ministry, worship, and leaders, and especially for the election of the new leaders in our church. Acts chapter 1 verses 24 through 26. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. In the book of Acts, it is mentioned that the 12 apostles were fully appointed through the casting of lots to select Matthias as the new apostle. At that time, the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out, so the saints prayed and cast lots to discern God's will. However, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, the process changed. In Acts 6, we see that the saints, filled with the Holy Spirit, prayed and chose their own deacons. Similarly, we are reminded that we should first pray together with one heart and then appoint church officers according to God's will. Electing church officers is the will of the Lord, and it is essential to establish them through prayer, recognizing that the church is the kingdom of Christ. Acts chapter 1 verse 14. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Does this passage reflect the reality of our church? Are we currently praying and worshiping God in this manner? Am I in the same mindset as my brothers and sisters? Are my prayers aligned with the prayers of my brothers and sisters? Are our wills united in Jesus Christ? Even if we have different specific prayer topics, the saints in heaven were united in the most important supplications and offered a single prayer to God with one heart and one will. This is the prayer that pleases God. All the children of God become one in the Word, holding on to God's pleasing will and Jesus' promise and praying with one heart. We pray with one heart and participate in the Lord's Supper that Jesus gives us today, sharing in the fellowship of one body. This is how we maintain our unity. What does it mean to have one mind and devote oneself to prayer? It means giving top priority to prayer. Even in the face of hindrances, trials, hardships, persecution, or difficulties, prayer takes precedence. In other words, prayer comes first in everything. For the saints of that era, prayer wasn't just a duty, a church program, a sporadic guilt-driven activity, or a display of piety. It was their life. Prayer was central to everything they did. They privately prayed and communed with Christ, and their entire lives flowed from there. For them, prayer was a source of grace. What kind of grace did the early church saints experience through prayer? What kind of grace should we experience through prayer? In our prayers, we begin by reflecting on the incredible grace of Jesus and expressing our gratitude. We also take time to acknowledge our sins and repent, recognizing the immense love of God in sacrificing His Son for us. We praise God for His amazing grace and rejoice in the fact that we are justified through Jesus' grace and are destined for heaven. We are thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit within us and look forward to the day when Jesus will return to take us to heaven. Calling God Abba Father brings us peace, and we humbly offer ourselves to fulfill His will. Through prayer, we experience joy, satisfaction, gratitude, praise, repentance, hope, peace, and desire that the world cannot comprehend. Through heartfelt prayer, we worship God, partake in the Lord's Supper, and share in the fellowship with other believers. It is a source of strength for us. Let us begin by praying and experiencing this wonderful grace. Let us pray earnestly with unity of mind, having faith in the gospel. Let us seek God's will, clinging to the promises of Jesus, and pray diligently. Our Father God, who instructed us to pray, always watches over us with His eyes and listens with His ears. He hears the prayers of His children just as He hears Jesus. He listens to all the prayers from our hearts without omitting anything. He embraces us like His little children, shining His loving face upon us and sharing fellowship with us. As we look into His eyes, we offer our hearts to Him. Our loving Father God is pleased to fulfill His will through the prayers of His children. We currently have fellowship with the Lord through faith-filled prayer, but we will soon see the Lord face to face in heaven and enjoy the fellowship of eternal love. I urge all the saints to pray with the hope of that day, and particularly to seek new leaders through prayer and to strengthen the Lord's church through prayer. I also hope that you will participate in communion today and look forward to the fellowship in heaven with our Lord.